Track 8 and letters to the editor. There are two letters this week. The first one is a fairly short one, and the second one we're going to divide into two. So Malcolm will read the first half and Denise will continue with the second half. But the first letter comes from Jeff Petty from Totnes. Energy lessons from the East. The UK is in danger of being left behind. China is stealing a march on us. China represents less than 20% of the world's population and GDP, yet it accounts for 65% of global grid-scale wind and solar sites currently under construction. They are also the global front-runner in green hydrogen and grid-scale battery storage systems. They are poised to surpass their government's renewable energy targets by 6 years. Clean energy provided China with 40% of its GDP growth in 2023 and 13% in 2024, with projections for further expansion. What's worrying is China's continued investment in coal for electricity generation. They only use coal to tackle intermittency in renewable electricity, so as their renewables grow, they will need less and less coal. The UK could do with some of China's ambition and growth. We're not doing too badly with the CBI saying our net zero economy has become a powerhouse of job creation and economic expansion, with 10.1% growth in economic value since 23. Both the Conservative Party and Reform UK should note. Let's not let China win all the prizes. It's good for us as well. The future is clean and green.
Do the figures really show where we're going? Do we need yet more statistics to show where we are going? Writes Jeremy Hall of Crockenwell. Kemi Badenoch obviously does. Global glacier mass down 27%. Sea level rise will be around 35 centimetres. Let's hope Londoners can swim. She has just announced that the net zero policy will bankrupt us, so has dropped one of the very few achievements of the Tory austerity is good for you 14-year cataclysm. Tories formally insisted that they represented the best of the old and the best of the new. Do they still expect us to think of the Johnson-Phibbs storm and the Liz Truss budget as the best of the old? Theresa May's adoption of net zero, we were the first wealthy nations to adopt such a forward-looking policy, however, went a long way to make up for the horrors that the other Tory MPs, PMs, inflicted. Net zero is essential preparation to help us survive the worst of the soon-to-arrive climate challenges and will only bankrupt us if we continue to tolerate the horrendous inequality that now exists in the UK. Is there anything good about our social hell, in which a fifth of our population owns two-thirds of the wealth and gets 30% of the income, while the bottom one-fifth owns 0.5% of the wealth and gets 9% of the income? People on the right in British society were saying that quoting such figures is the politics of envy. How dare they, when in daily life it means that in every state school class, 9 of every 30 kids is living in poverty. By bankruptcy, Ms. B means that believing that those below middle income can afford solar panels, a second-hand EV, already cheaper than the petrol equivalent, and to insulate their houses is, at present, an unrealistic idea. More importantly, she's telling us that the grossly inflated profits made by the oil companies, the chemical industry, insurance, the banks, etc., and the investment attitudes that still dominate the business world here will be deposed once proper climate-conscious policies are introduced. If the reduce, reuse, recycle sustainability principles included within net zero were to be applied seriously, the gross profiteering that we tolerate at present will be bankrupted.
A further motive behind Ms. B's ditching net zero was because powerful Tory backers gave it a chunk of money to make its rejection attractive. These pressure groups, Global Warming Policy Foundation and Net Zero, insist that a climate-aware citizens have a mistaken belief about weather extremes and that we can live perfectly well with climate change, so they want to rapidly expanding fossil fuel extraction. Note the clever title. Is the Global Warming Policy Foundation going to be for or against the evidence accompanying the climate crisis? Don't expect honesty when we learn that one of the pressure group's pillars was Lord Lawson, who was also took one of the top badges for hypocrisy when he pushed really hard for Brexit from his chateau in France. And a lot of GWPS funds come from the oil industry. Getting as close as we can to net zero as soon as we can not only makes scientific and meteorological sense, it will stimulate an outburst of creativity across the business, energy and agricultural spheres. The phrase bankrupt us is a head in the sand cover for maintaining investors' profits within the current self-harm structures. The cogs in capitalism must adapt to climate reality and lose their financial stranglehold over us all. Which generation is most aware of the crossroads at which we stand? The younger generations have a real grasp of where we're going at the present axis. NHS polls inform us that 55% of the 17 to 25 age group rate climate change as their major worry, and this, along with other factors, shows itself in the fact that 20% of the 8 to 25 group admit to major anxiety and depression. Naive to want change? No, it's existential unless we want burn baby burn and drown baby drown and the super rich to drink even larger cocktails served in their private jets.